Over the last few weeks, we've been studying the education of a disciple. Of course, talking about the Apostle Peter. And he's learned some great lessons, and some of those lessons were kind of tough. He sometimes learned the hard way, didn't he? And today we'll continue along those lines. We're going to need to go to John chapter 13, so if you're waiting for a handout sheet, or if you've already got it, begin turning there, John chapter 13. Well, today, Peter's going to learn about the necessity of cleansing. And you'll see when we get to the text here, we see the Lord Jesus humbling Himself, doing something that may have shocked the disciples. Knowing, of course, we have to think back on what some of the lessons Peter has already learned. You know, he's learned, wow, this is the Christ. And then we learned last week, about reverence. The reverence that he was learning to have for this Christ. Well, since he has this view of Christ and who he really is, he's the Son of the living God, now he sees this very Christ setting aside his robe, wrapping himself in a towel, and beginning to wash the disciples' feet. Now, this doesn't make sense to Peter. Like, wait a minute here. This is the Christ. What's he doing? You know, we ought to be washing his feet, maybe they're thinking. So that kind of sets the background. Let's read the story. Let's look at the text, and we'll come back and see what the Lord has for us in this lesson. We're going to read all of the first 17 verses, so you follow along, and I'll read John 13, verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. I like that phrase. He loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was to come from God and went to God, he rises from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Now watch, here comes Peter into the scene. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. And Jesus was speaking a little something deeper than the physical foot washing, and we'll get to that here shortly. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, Ye are not all clean. That's another hint, of course. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garments, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done unto you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him. If ye know these things, happy are ye if ye do them. And let's pray. Lord, thank you once again for allowing us to be here this morning. It's always a privilege and an honor to open the Word of God and to look at its contents and to learn and to see great truths, especially when we see about the life of our Lord. And so we pray that you'll help us today, give us understanding, help us to see how these truths apply to our own lives, and may we do just that and incorporate them into our lives so that we can be more like you. You gave us a great example. Help us to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Lord said there, I've given you this great example, so go and do likewise. So I asked the men to bring those foot washing basins in. Now we're going to have some foot washing going on here. I'm just kidding. That's not at all what the Lord meant, although He did give us a great example. And we'll talk about that here as we get into the lesson. We're going to start writing right off the bat here. The more we understand just how holy God is, and as we get a glimpse of His purity, the more we must acknowledge our own sinfulness. And I want us to see a verse here together. Hold your place, but go to Isaiah. I think I made reference to this in a recent lesson, but today we're going to actually look at it. So go to Isaiah chapter 6. And this will illustrate exactly what that statement is telling us there. The more we understand just how holy God is, and we get a glimpse of His purity, boy, the more we realize where we stand. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah stopped talking here, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain He covered His face, and with twain He covered His feet, and with twain He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, look at his response now when he saw that vision, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Wow. And so there we see the response of Isaiah to getting a glimpse, if you please, of the true holiness and purity of the Lord Jesus, of God or the Lord Jesus Christ, we could say. John also acknowledged something like this, his sinfulness in response. Let's turn now to Revelation chapter 1. Again, keeping your place in John, because we're going to come back there here shortly. Revelation 1, quickly. Starting in verse 12. Of course, John speaking, he said, And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. This voice that's giving him the revelation. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about with paps and a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. And his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. And his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, what did he do? I fell at his feet as dead. And so we see another response there. When we really realize, we really get a glimpse of the Lord and His true holiness, we then get a perspective of ourselves. And I think that's so important. 1 Peter said in chapter 1, verse 15, But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye, that's us, in all manner of conversation, because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And so that's kind of the direction we're going to go here this morning as we look at this interaction between the Lord, of course, Peter. After these things that he told them, Peter pipes up when he comes to wash Peter's feet. We'll see some things that take place here. So first of all, let's look at the ministration. And that's verses 1 through 5. When Jesus begins, they finish the supper. He stands up. He sets aside his robe or his garments. He puts on this towel. That's in verses 1 through 5. In this passage, we can see, we're not going to see them all, but we could see several tremendous lessons that apply to us as believers today. But the thrust of the lesson is on cleansing and being cleansed. And as such, we see the Lord here setting the stage for those lessons on cleansing. He sets the stage by being an example of a servant. The heart of a servant. And that's what we see first off. So first thing is Christ's heart. And based on what I just said, obviously, it's the heart of a servant. Christ's heart. In His actions, in this passage of Scripture, washing the disciples' feet, we see the heart that Jesus has for His own people. And I refer you back to verse 1 at the end there. It says, Jesus loved His own, which were in the world. He loved them unto the end. So obviously the Lord Jesus Christ has this great love for His people. He loved them to the end. He redeemed them, or us. He's redeemed us. He's done all that needs to be necessary for us to have a home in heaven. But He has this great love for us, and He has the heart to serve us. Speaking of His love, Jeremiah 31:3. Mark that reference down. It's not on my slides or in your notes. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, listen, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Great verse. I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's what the Lord tells us. It has been said that love is a verb. Yeah, it's an action verb. Godly love leads to action. God's love toward us was expressed in His greatest gift. What was that? His Son. And then, in addition to that, then Christ demonstrated His love by going to the cross. And thus fulfilling, going through with that. I think we talked a little bit about that last week. In spite of, Jesus knew all that lie before Him. In spite of that, He went forward anyway. Remember that last, I think it was last week's lesson. And so, why was that? It's because of His great love. Because of His great love for mankind, He went through it and continued on. So we see this love of God is demonstrated by His greatest gift, the Lord. Of course, John 3:16 tells us that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That was God's gift to us. And then Jesus demonstrated His love by going to the cross. Secondly, and this gets us more into the lesson here, what we need to talk about today. We see Christ's humility. That's in verses 4 through 5. Look at verse 4. He rises from supper, laid aside His garments, and took a towel and girded Himself. You know, I wonder what was going through the apostles' mind as they see this playing out. You know, Jesus might have been sitting, I don't know if they sat on the floor at a low table or how they did, but, Jesus may have taken a napkin and patted His mouth, put it down, stood up, went over, took His robe off, and they're like, they're probably, observing, what's He going to do? And He puts this towel on, and the further He gets into it, then He gets the basin and begins to get down on the ground to their feet. They're just surprised at this, and especially Peter. And, of course, we saw Peter's response. We'll come back to that here shortly, but this just seemed almost incomprehensible to them, to realize that the very Son of God, the Lord of the universe, was willing to lay aside His garment and clothe Himself in a towel so that He could bend down or bow down or kneel down and wash their dirty, stinky, toe-jammy feet. Right? And that's just, it makes sense, especially Peter. We don't really see the response of others, but Peter's like, are you serious? No way, Lord. You can't do this. And this was the Creator serving the created. Amen? The Creator serving the created. Let's go to Psalm 8. Hold your place there. Turn with me to Psalm chapter 8. Love this passage. Psalm chapter 8, verse 1. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth, who has set Thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast Thou ordained strength because of Thine enemies, that Thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider Thy heavens, the work of Thy fingers, the moon and the stars which Thou hast ordained. And then this question, what is man? that thou art mindful of him. What is man? After all that I see in creation, all that I realize that you did and you've done with the power of your word, the spoken word, who am I? What is man that thou would that you would even consider mankind? It's amazing, amazing. The Lord Himself was willing to do such a lowly and seemingly demeaning task. How much more, I should say, if the Lord was willing to do such a lowly task, how much more should we follow, that's what we're getting at here, the example of our Lord and Master? You mean literally washing feet? No, the example of what are we seeing in the picture? We're seeing the example of true humility. Humility. And that's what the Lord wants us to get at this point in this passage. Turn back just a couple here, books, to Mark. Look at chapter 10, Mark chapter 10. Verse 43, Mark chapter 10, verse 43. This might be should be a familiar passage to you, but it says verse 43, "But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister," or in other words, your servant. "And whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all." And so we see great lessons there on the greatest, the chiefest is the servant, the one who with humility serves. Christ knew that God's principle has always been that if we humble ourselves in the sight of God, He will lift us up. We are wise to follow the Lord's example in humbling ourselves and serving. Sometimes we hear this phrase kicked around in our circles, servant leadership. And none of us whether it's good or bad, but I think leaders ought to be servants. But we all should serve. All of us should be willing to be humble and to serve others, especially those of the household of faith, but then also those out in the world, that we can be humble enough to let them see our good works so that they might take an interest in our Savior. What we learn from this example, when I said Christ knew God's principle was about humbling and God will lift us up, that's because of the way in God's economy, the way up is down. And also, the way to save your life is to lose it. We won't take time to turn to all these references, but Mark 8:35 talks about that. To save your life is to lose it. Another thing is the way to receive is what? To give. Luke 6:38 is a great verse about pressed down, running over, and so forth. The way to receive is to give. Then one more I could say. I didn't put it on the slides, but there's another statement in Matthew 20, verse 16. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So these are things in God's world, in God's economy, that teach us about humility and that God's ways are a little bit different than our ways. Of course, then this, humility always precedes promotion. And so, rather than asking God, you know, there's another passage, I think it's in Matthew 6, about Jesus was saying, you know, these guys, these Pharisees and such that go down to the temple or go out and about seeking, he said, don't seek the upper seats. Remember that passage? Don't be seeking to go into the upper seats. You know, you just stay down, let them call you up if that's what they want to do. But don't go seeking to get to the high place. Don't go seeking the chiefest seat. Humility will bring about promotion. If God wants to promote you, He will, but it'll be through your humility, of course. All right, so that's the ministration. That's the background of what's taking place here. And we see, I guess the main teaching from that point there is that we see the example of Christ's humility. Second, we come to a misunderstanding. This is verses 6 through 11. I don't think I wrote those references on your notes. You might add that. That's verses 6 through 11. This is when he came to Simon Peter. Let's look at those passages once again. Verse 6, he cometh to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus said unto him, What I do, thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. In other words, Peter's like, oh, because Jesus said, if I can't wash your feet, then you have no part with me. Oh, in that case, here, wash my whole body. wash me. And he said then, verse 11, for he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. As Peter was prone to do, he once again spoke without thinking. In fact, he contradicted the Lord himself. And the Lord had to kind of correct him here a little bit and told him about that. You know, you have no part with me if I can't wash your feet. But what we see here is Peter's incredulity. I was thinking as I was doing this lesson, I said, wow, these Baptists who wrote this lesson, man, they go to great extremes to get those alliterations. I don't even know what that word means. But we got to have it alliterated, so we're going to look at a couple I words here, and this is the first one. But incredulous people basically are very skeptical people. And here, Peter asks or says to the Lord, you're going to wash my feet? And he cannot believe that Jesus would wash his feet, even though he saw the Lord do all the others. Because the Bible says he came to Peter. So obviously he'd washed some other of the disciples' feet already, and now he's come to Peter. And Peter's just not comprehending this. And so, why would the master take on the role of a servant? That's what's going through Peter's mind. Well, in the Christian life, there are many times when God will be up to things. That's kind of a cool way to say it. What's God up to? Well, sometimes He gets up to things that we just don't understand. And all God's people said, because we've been there. Lord, what are you doing? Why is this happening? Or what are you up to, Lord? And sometimes it might be good, and sometimes we think not so good. But the Lord's always working in our lives, and that next statement is where we have to land. We just have to trust Him. You know, one of the greatest things, you'd think after 38 years of being a Christian, you'd get this. But preacher has said, and this goes over a period of probably the last few years, but he often says, and he brings it up whenever appropriate, it has helped me personally tremendously, and that's this. I don't have to worry. I'm just paraphrasing, but this is the gist of it. He said it many different ways. I don't have to worry about it. God's in control. Duh. Isn't that good? It doesn't matter if it's about the virus or getting a vaccine or, you know, buildings crumbling, whatever's going on out in the world. You know what? God's got it all under control. He knows what's going to happen next. He's got the future all worked out. He's already there. He sees where we're going to end up. He knows all about it. And that's helped me so much personally to think, you know what? There's no need to worry. There's no need to fret. There's no need to bite my nails. There's no need to pull my... Oh, wait. Never mind. There's no need to pull my hair out. No, there's no need. Why? Because God is sovereign and He is in control. Now, that's helped me tremendously. You need to let it help you too. Because I know there's some worriers out here, aren't we? We all can tend to worry. And so, don't worry. Be happy. And God's in control. I love that truth. Let me give you this verse here. Romans 11, 33 and 34. Just jot it down. We'll not take time to turn. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? And in other words, God has it all figured out. He is in control. Consider God's perspective on your life and understand that He sees much more and much farther ahead than you do. That's a good truth. God already sees the whole road. And we only see a few feet ahead of us, as it were. If you realize how much He loves you, you will see that you can trust Him to do exactly the right thing. No matter how it looks to you or me. Because in our perspective, things can sometimes look bad. Or yes, sometimes it looks good. Either way, God has it. He's got it under control. That's such an important lesson. I love that. We've got to move on. How about Peter's impertinence? Peter's impertinence. How about that Peter actually refused? "Thou shalt never wash my feet," he declares. And so then we saw glimpses of that same attitude in a couple lessons ago when Peter said, when Jesus was telling about his upcoming death, and Peter said, "This isn't going to be how it's going to be, Lord. No way, that's not going to happen." What did Jesus say? "Get behind me, Satan." He's like, "No, you don't understand." And so let's consider this lesson. It's easy to criticize Peter, and we all do it. But how many times have we said no to the Lord? Mm-mm-mm. Ouch. We may not have said no verbally and physically, but by our actions or our response or our lack of obedience, we have said no. And we must be in the habit of saying yes to the Lord. We'll give an account, it says here. We will give an account for those no's. We must be obedient to the Lord. Well, let me see here. I need to go forward a few pages. Here we go. The most important lesson being taught to Peter was not one of physical washing. So when the Lord says, "Go and do likewise," and there are churches that actually do this. They have foot washing services. I don't think that's what the Lord had in mind. He was trying to teach a lesson on humility. But this washing he's talking about is really the washing of regeneration. It's a one-time event. It's an inner cleansing. Remember he said at the end of verse 11, look what it says, the last five words, "Ye are not all clean." What was he meaning there? There's one among you who has not experienced this regeneration. Of course, that was Judas. We know the outcome of Judas. And so he was speaking of a greater lesson than literally washing people's feet. So this regeneration and inner cleansing. Titus 3:5 says this, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us." How? "By the washing of regeneration." There's those words. "And renewing of the Holy Ghost." David said in Psalm 51:7, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." This washing of regeneration, of course, is a one-time event, as the statement makes there. But, however, there are, let me see if we've got another statement here. Yeah. There's also daily cleansing for the believer that takes place through confession. Aren't you glad for that? When we got saved, we didn't become perfect. We didn't eradicate the old man. He's still there. There's a war within us, and we have to put up with it until we go to heaven. But when we fall, we fail, we sin, we can come to the Lord anytime we need to and confess. And of course, we probably all could quote 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Thank God for that. And that brings us to our third and final point here. So the ministration, that's the ministry the ceremony, if you please, of Jesus putting aside His robe, putting a towel on, and doing this act of washing their feet. In doing so, teaching a greater lesson than just foot washing. And then the misunderstanding. Peter clearly misunderstood what the Lord was trying to get across. And then now the motivation. After performing the task of a servant, the Lord took time to give His disciples another important piece of their education. The Lord wants us to learn from His example. This is what He's teaching them. That we are to have a heart, to serve others. He said, "I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you." When believers or a believer grasps the importance of serving, this is a good statement, he not only honors the Lord, which must always happen, but he also impacts the recipient. You know, when you serve someone, it will impact them. It will have an impact on, I can't believe you did that for me. I can't believe you would actually do that. You know, a lost person might say that because of how you're serving them, how you're being humble and being a servant. 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 2 says this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And here's a sad statement. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." That's today for sure. Lovers of their own selves. "But if we seek things that pertain to Christ, then we will seek to be a servant for sure." All right, letter A. We see Christ's exaltation. Look at verse 13. Verse 12. "So after he had washed their feet and had taken his garment and sat down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? And then this verse, "Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say well," look what he says, "for so I am." You said the right thing. I am your Master. This is his exaltation. I am your Lord. You've said it right. And so important that we see that. I mentioned already, he had something far deeper in mind than the act of foot washing. Jesus commended his disciples for calling him Master and Lord, for he is both. Let me just rattle off a few verses here for you. Matthew 28:18. "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." John 3:35. "The Father loveth the Son and hath given him all things into his hand." And then Colossians 1:18. "And he is the head of the body, the church." Speaking of Christ, of course. "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." And then, of course, you and I, friend, we should have the heart or the mind of John the Baptist, who said, "He must increase, I must decrease." That ought to be our attitude. The Lord must increase. So rather than being lover of self, no, we need to decrease us and increase the Lord. Then letter B. I'm excited. We're actually making it through the lesson before time. Maybe. I shouldn't speak too early because I've got an illustration I want to give you here. Christ's example. In this passage, we see three little lessons that the Lord's trying to get through to us. We ought to serve others. The greatest service is being that of telling the gospel. I was excited to hear, I'll give you this little illustration. This might cause us to go over, I apologize. Maybe just 1 minute. I came home from work, I think it was Friday, and Caleb and Deborah were excited. They had a chance to witness to a man named Mike. And there's lots of backstory to this that goes back about 6 years when every place my wife has worked, usually, like the Jeffersons and a lot of high-end people, they would say, "Do you know of a good cleaner, a good dry cleaner, etc." So somewhere along the way, Deborah met this Mike who owns a cleaning shop, and he does upholstery. It's a lot of things he does, cleans rugs, all kinds of stuff. And so Mike, he's a Greek man, and Deborah have this connection. And so all through the years now, the last 6 years, every place Deborah's worked, she's recommended. And so she has gotten him lots of work, and he's been so grateful for that. And anyway, haven't seen Mike for a little while because of COVID, but in Deborah's current job, they needed some work done, and Deborah said, "I know the right person for the job." And so Mike came to the house and picked up whatever needed to be done. And in the meantime, we too had a rug that was given to us, but the person that gave it said might have a little dog hair on it. But well, that's okay. It's a brand new rug. Hundreds of dollars. They were getting rid of it for whatever reason. Didn't match their house or something. So we asked Mike, "Could you clean the rug for us?" "Yeah, yeah." So they go yesterday to pick it up. And while they're there, And I'm going to get it all wrong because there's lots of details. But basically, Deborah starts to witness to Mike. She asks the question, Mike, have you ever wondered why over these years we keep crossing paths and, you know, we've had this connection? And I mean, it's like we're in each other's lives for a reason more than dry cleaning or whatever. He's like, oh, well, I'm very grateful. You've gotten me a lot. I'm very grateful. You've gotten me lots of jobs. However a Greek accent goes. And she begins to witness to him. And she takes it so far, and then she asks, I want Caleb to take his Bible and show you. So Caleb starts going through the plan of salvation with Mike right there in the shop. And they were there about an hour. And when they got down, and of course, all through the time Caleb's witnessing, Deborah interjects little bits and pieces. So it's kind of a tag team effort. And at the end, when Caleb invited him to pray and ask Jesus into his heart, he said this. He said, can I do this on my own, in my private time? And so they didn't want to press him, but they said, yeah, of course you can. Left him the track to review the material. And before they left, Deborah said, Mike, would you do me a favor? If you pray that prayer, would you text me and let me know? He said, sure. Well, Deborah wasn't sure if he'd actually do that or not, but he did. So I want to read it. I want to read to you what he said, if she sent it to me this morning. This text came through yesterday, Saturday. They witnessed to him on Friday. He said, and this is verbatim what he wrote, good morning. It was great to see you and your son. Listen how he worded this. I don't know what happened, but it was something I cannot explain. So this morning I had the courage to ask the Lord for forgiveness for all my sins and to save my soul. I thank you and Caleb for reaching out. And your mother is an awesome person. he must have been saying, Caleb, your mother is an awesome person. But I like that. I don't know what happened, but something I cannot explain. Wow. Isn't that so true? When you get saved, it's something you just can't explain. God moves in and forgives you of your sin. And that's just awesome. So, yeah, the greatest service is telling the gospel. So let's finish up. I took you over time. No, we got 30 seconds. Follow the example of Christ. That's what we learn here. What example? Washing feet? No, being humble. Being humble. Being a servant. Number three, happiness. Happiness comes from finding the will of God and doing it. Look at verse 17. It tells us that. Jesus said, if you know these things, what's that next word? Happy. Happy are ye if you do them. Of course, that happy that he's speaking of is that joy that comes from serving Christ. Amen. All right, let's see. I think we're ready for the close. Yeah. Christ desires that we understand our need of cleansing. Not just Peter, you and me, us. We need cleanse. First through salvation, then in our day-to-day walk with Him that comes through confession. Then, through this, then, we have this understanding. We taste and see that the Lord is good. Thus desiring to be an agent of change in the lives of others. Amen. All right. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for your patience. And we'll take a break.